maybe some of you are kind of like that too, deep down inside. Kids generally have a hard time waiting. I wonder if you've ever heard of this study that they did in this educational psychology world called the marshmallow test. My helpers today are going to help us demonstrate this marshmallow test. And the marshmallow test goes something like this. The researcher brings some youth or some children into the room, and he gives them each a marshmallow. Yes, Henry says. And he tells them this. Okay, here's the deal, guys. You can eat this marshmallow right now if you want. But if you wait until the end of the message, then I'll give you another marshmallow, and you get to have two marshmallows. What do you think? Is that kind of a hard decision to make? You could either eat one marshmallow now or wait and get two marshmallows later. What do you think you're going to do? Henry, do you think you would wait, or do you think you'd eat it now? Wait, because you want the other one too? Okay, let's see if you can wait that long. The researchers actually determined that the children who waited to get that second marshmallow a little bit later became more successful in life than kids who decided to eat that first marshmallow right away. So we've got some pretty successful kids here, don't we? What exactly does it take to wait? What does it take to wait for that second marshmallow? Well, part of it, what it takes, is faith. You guys have to believe that I'm actually going to give you a second marshmallow if you wait. You have to have faith that that second marshmallow is coming. Henry's going to tell us how the author of Hebrews describes what faith is.
Hebrews 11, verse 1. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see, according to the author of Hebrews.
Very good. Thank you. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. The kids who wait for this marshmallow have faith. They hope for another marshmallow, but they don't really see that I have other marshmallows, but they're pretty certain that I will fulfill my promise and I will give them more marshmallows when I'm done speaking. Faith is a hard thing. Maybe when we're only talking about marshmallows, it's not so hard. But what about when we're asking people to have faith in something so much bigger? In today's story from the book of Matthew, we read about a time when someone who followed God even had trouble having faith. In this story, we read about Zechariah. Zechariah worked in the house of God. He was what we call a priest. He helped people worship. He helped people prepare for worship. He set up the worship space. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were quite old, and they were still sad because they never had any children of their own. But one day, the angel Gabriel comes to him and says, "Zechariah, you and your wife are going to have a son. You will name him John. He will be a joy to you and to many others, and he will help people come back to God. That will be his special job." Now, here was an announcement that's quite hard to believe. Surely Zechariah and his wife had probably even stopped hoping that they would ever have a son. They were just too old. And now the angel was asking them to restore that hope that they would have a child all over again, to be sure of what they hoped for. The angel was asking them to be certain of what they could not see, to know that in 9 months you would be holding a little infant in your arms. These next 9 months would be a long time of waiting. "But have faith that this message is true," says the angel to Zechariah. But how does Zechariah respond to that angel? What does Zechariah say to Gabriel? He says to the angel, "How can this be true? How can I know that this is true?" he says. Here's the funny thing about faith. If the evidence that you have is so clear, rock solid clear, it couldn't be any other way, then you don't need faith anymore. Because faith is being certain of what you do not see and you do not know to be true. Zechariah was trying to find the easy way out. He was trying to find evidence that would show him that this angel's message is absolutely, without a doubt, for sure, true. But then he wouldn't have needed faith. So the angel says to Zechariah, "This is how you know the message is true. I have been sent to speak to you by God. God who has been faithful to you, God who has been faithful to your ancestors for many generations, God who speaks truth and truth alone. Therefore, you can believe that this message is true. But it still requires having faith." We're all familiar with Zechariah's position of waiting, aren't we? We're all waiting for circumstances to change for the better in some part of our life, aren't we? Maybe like Zechariah and Elizabeth, you're waiting for a child. Or maybe we're waiting for a relationship to heal. Or maybe we're waiting for a disease to be cured. Or maybe we're waiting to feel accepted and loved by somebody. This time of Advent is a time of waiting. Of waiting for the final answer to the world's brokenness. Of waiting for the baby Jesus to be born who will take away the sin of the world. Of waiting for Jesus to come back again someday when he will fully redeem and fix the broken world and the brokenness in our lives. And in the meantime, we're asked to have faith. Faith for what we hope for, but we do not yet see. For Zechariah, his faith grew during his time of waiting. I'm sure that not being able to talk probably helped that a little bit. It gave him a little time to think. But soon he saw that God's promise came true. His wife Elizabeth gave birth to a son, and Zechariah named him John. And then Zechariah could speak again, and he gave praise and glory to God for his wonderful faithfulness. And if you look at Zechariah's story or his song there, you'll see that he's not just praising God for fulfilling promises already. He is praising God for what is yet to come. He has faith that because God gave him that son just like he said he would, God was also going to fulfill his promises to him for the future. God was going to send a rescuer. He was going to send help. He was going to send help so that people wouldn't have to live in their brokenness anymore. His song is full of faith. Just as God fulfilled his promise to Zechariah, he will fulfill his promise to us too, and to the world. God has made a way for healing, for rescuing. Markayla's going to tell us what it says about that in Romans.
Romans 3:22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are.
Great. Thank you. Our way of healing, our way of being rescued from brokenness is this. God asks us to have faith in Jesus Christ. Faith that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, his continued work in heaven on our behalf, will bring healing. What do we believe about Jesus Christ? The Nicene Creed, something that has been quoted in Christian churches for centuries, says this: We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as God the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He became incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and he was made human. He was crucified for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again with glory to judge the living and the dead. His kingdom will never end. This is what we believe about Jesus Christ. We believe it by faith. And we also believe this from Ephesians chapter 3.
Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence.
Okay, let's try one more time. All right, do it one more time so we can all hear.
Because of Christ and our faith in Him, we can now come boldly and confidently into His presence.
Great. Thank you. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because we have faith that Jesus Christ has done these things for us, that He has come to rescue us, because we have that faith, we can come boldly and confidently into God's presence. You see, our God isn't a God that stays far away from us. He's not a God that sits way up there above the clouds and kind of looks over and says, "Ah, that's interesting. Look at those little people down there." God is a God that calls us to Himself. He wants to have us to have a relationship with Him. He wants us to be Jesus followers. He wants us to embrace Jesus as the one whose work on the cross has forgiven our sin and made us right with God. It is our faith in Jesus Christ that opens the door for us to enter into God's presence. Right now, we are in God's presence when we come together and worship, or when we stop our busy lives during the week and we pray and we have a prayer time, or when we answer a prompting of the Holy Spirit and we do what He's calling us to do. Someday, we will enter God's presence in heaven. God's presence will not just be here on earth, but we will be able to join with the angels and to worship God, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Right now, we wait for that coming day. Waiting isn't always easy. And having faith isn't easy either. These kids, they waited, assuming that I would give them another marshmallow. And because they waited, they get to have their reward, something even better. Two marshmallows. God promises that our advent, our time of waiting, our time of waiting for Jesus to come again will end when He does come, and He will rescue this world from sin and brokenness. This Christmas, we ask you to examine your heart. Is it a heart of faith? Is it a heart that is willing to wait? A heart that believes God's promises to be true? You know, like Zechariah, we often want to wait until we can know this to be true. We want to have all the whole thing figured out. But then we wouldn't need faith. Faith in a God who has been faithful to us in the past, who promises to be faithful to us in the future. Faith in a God who has repeatedly been a rescuer for His people. Faith in a God who has been the ultimate rescuer, and since the ultimate rescuer, His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, there are moments in our lives when the truth of who God is and what He has done for us becomes very real to us. And then, like Zechariah, we find our voice. We praise God for His work in our lives. We tell others about what God has done. And we profess what we believe. When Desiree was just a child, she was baptized. God's promises were read aloud. Promises that God loved her. That God sent His Son, Jesus, to make a way for Desiree's sins to be forgiven. A promise that calls Desiree His child. I'm going to pause for a minute because I see that Melissa is downstairs with her son. Could somebody switch places with her a second? Do you mind? Thank you, Gord. And Henry, you can sit down. And Markayla, you can sit down too. Yep, take your marshmallows. That's right. Thank you. There we are. So when Desiree was just a child, she was baptized. God's premises were read aloud to her, promises that God loves her, that God sent his son Jesus to make a way for Desiree's sin to be forgiven, a promise that God calls Desiree his child. And it takes a step of faith to return back to that promise, doesn't it? To say, and I believe that God's promises to me are true. To embrace God's love and to say, I love God back. I want to follow Jesus. And that's what Desiree is going to do with us today. She is going to profess her faith. And part of the way that Desiree tells her faith or shares her faith story with us today is a drawing that she made. And this is what she writes about that drawing. I draw this because I love to draw. So I'd rather draw a picture instead of trying to explain how I am accepting God into my life. And what we see here is a beautiful picture of love and beauty. And to see that God is love and God is beauty in Desiree's life. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Desiree. You can stay right there. Desiree, I'd like to ask you the following questions. Okay? Do you believe that God loves you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to put the world right again, and that by believing in him, you can have full repentance and joy? Do you believe that the Bible is God's word to you, and what it says is true and a guide for your life? Do you accept the gracious promises of God sealed to you in your baptism? And do you affirm your union with Christ in his church, which your baptism signifies? And do you promise to love God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? And do you promise to love others as reflected in your willingness to serve them with the gifts that God has given you? Desiree, what is your answer? In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I now welcome you to the privileges of full communion. I welcome you to full participation in the life of the church. And may this be a place where you can explore matters of faith, where you can learn to live out your faith in everyday life. People of God, I ask you the following question. Do you promise to receive Desiree in love, to pray for her, to instruct her in the faith, and to encourage her as she is part of this church family? Please respond with, we do, God helping us. We do, God helping us. Let's begin that by offering a prayer for Desiree. If anyone is willing to come up and would like to pray with us for Desiree, you're welcome to do that, or you may stay in your seat. Can you come up here with me? We can just sit right on the front.